9 years ago today, Kendrick Lamar dropped his major label studio debut, Good Kid, Mad City, and it absolutely shocked the industry. I mean, there's so many things to go through. There's so many reasons why this album is so prominent within the culture, and there's a reason why people are still paying attention to this album. So today, guys, that's exactly what we'll be doing. We're going to go back and we're going to review Good Kid, Mad City. I know, Lou, it's a personal favorite for you. Same way on my page, man. But let's talk about this, man. There's so many moving parts.
The first time that we're revisiting an old album on the channel, and this is a series you guys could expect on a regular basis. So let us know in the comments which old album you guys want to see us review next. And it's always fun to talk about Good Kid, Mad City, because I feel like it's one of those hip-hop albums that everybody has an opinion on, and it's one that you're bound to have come across if you're an avid hip-hop listener, right?
Absolutely. And guys, listen, we're going to be treating the review the same way as we do for all of our reviews. So we're going to go through different criterias. We're going to start with artist performance, content, and then we're going to go into the features, and then production, and then replay value. So that's going to be a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, and the way
today
that we actually judge these albums, instead of using numerical values, we actually have feelings that we feel towards the category, starting off with bad, then moving into mid, then good, great, amazing, and perfect. And let us know your final score for the album based on that scale in the comments as well. It's fun to see your thoughts on it. So let's do this, man. Let's get into this album. I mean, I know that for both of us, it's an album that we've both listened to hundreds of times. So let's get right into it, into the artist performance. What do you think makes Kendrick's artist performance so extraordinary here?
The flow switches and the voice switches. I think that this is the first time you start to realize how good Kendrick is good at this, because, I mean, Section 80 obviously did have some of it. There were certain instances where he would switch up or he would go through with it, but this album was like the full display of him trying to become, you know, the modern Andre 3K, and that's what I feel as if I got through this. I mean, the voice and flow switches on songs like Swimming Pools, and even, you know, the voice changes for the intro chorus and even the verses on Mad City. You know, the art of peer pressure, it was also a thing where he would introduce songs in different voices, just made the whole experience a lot more emotional for me, because Kendrick is using his voices and flows to depict certain emotions he has within the album. So why do you think he does this so well, and how do you think he's developed this into his biggest asset yet today?
I think Kendrick does this so well because, especially with an album like Good Kid, Mad City, to me, it's his most cinematic, and I don't even view this as a body of music. I see it as a movie, to be honest with you. And that starts with the way that he constructed this towards its non-linear structure, where to me, like, this is the album version of Pulp Fiction, where you kind of have every song that feels like a scene, but it's not in the right order. And you're left to kind of scatter and say, okay, this happens first within the story and this happens next, because there is a flow through the sequence of events within this album. But going back to Kendrick's performance, I mean, like you were saying, what he does with his voice is massive, because going back to a song like Swimming Pools, for example, he hires the pitch of his voice
on verse two
when he's actually talking through the perspective of his own conscious. So that's mind-blowing to me, that he's like, okay, if I'm going to portray different characters and I'm going to personify things like my own conscious, I need to make that believable. I need to make it seem like it's not Kendrick talking here, it's a different entity. And that's what he does so well. But in terms of the lyrical masterclass that Kendrick does here, it's fucking brilliant, bro. Like, the wordplay is on another level. I want to go to a song like Mad City, where he uses kind of the end rhymes of every line to show the alliteration and crazy wordplay. For example, when he's rapping, "Fuck you shooting for if you ain't walking up, you fucking punk. Picking up the fucking pump. Picking off you let me say it again.
Yeah, it's a handful.
Picking off you suckers. Suck a dick or die, sucker punch." Like, the way that every last word of a line transitions and becomes the word of the next rhyme pattern, it's mind-blowing to me, bro.
Absolutely. And let's also talk about the iconic hooks on this album. I mean, there's a certain, you know, block, I feel as if, with lyricists is where they might struggle on hooks, or they might, you know, struggle to create mainstream appeal. This was not a problem on this album. I mean, going to the swimming pools hook, you know, the Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe hook, the Money Trees hook, the Mad City hook. There is just way too many memorable hooks that kind of give you, like, small time anchors within the whole album that kind of, like, you know, get you in tune and back in place with the overall feel of the track list. Like, for me, the overall messages within it are also massive, and I kind of want to save that for the content wise, because that's where we're going to focus a lot of our time on as well. But
you know what's crazy about what you just said is the fact that I saw a lot of, like, a couple of publications and one big reviewer on YouTube who actually, like, that was the one section where they're like, okay, this album would have been flawless if it wasn't for the strength of the hooks.
Oh, that's
like, that was like the one thing that held it back for them. And I was like, the hooks are so good here. Look at a song like Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, where again, changing the vocal pitch, and also the fact that Lady Gaga was supposed to originally do that hook, but Kendrick, because of scheduling conflicts, couldn't get that done. So he's like, fuck it, I'll take it upon myself. And that has become, for me, one of the most iconic and catchiest hooks of the 2010s decade. So to me, the hooks are amazing, like you said, man. There's no doubting that in any sense.
Absolutely. And not only that, but the ability to, you know, carry this track list is just genius. I mean, Kendrick's going to keep you entertained throughout every single song here. I mean, as a hip-hop album, you can't get better than this. I mean, this is top tier. And I think that, you know, we're gonna get real serious, and we're going to give the artist performance a perfect rating. I mean, Kendrick didn't miss. I mean, I could die on that hill. He did not miss on this album. There's not one whack bar, one whack flow, one thing where you have to turn your head and be like, that should have made the cut. This album, you know, really had a, you know, an amazing, not even amazing, I'm so used to saying amazing, a perfect,
it's flawless, man. It's, and flawless, I mean, to me, his masterclass of performances come on Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, as well as Mad City. And Mad City, you get that double and triple time flow. And I want to read off one more bar because the wordplay is just too crazy. Ivies on top of Ivies, obviously the coroner between the sheets, like the Isleys, in terms of the Isleys brothers. And I love how he goes from Ivies on top of Ivies, obviously, the Ivy wordplay. It's just, it's mind-blowing, but I'm going to get ahead of myself just rambling on about
this. It's hard talking about this album
because there's so much to say.
You want to say so much, and like, you're tripping over your words because you have a hard time grasping it yourself. I think that's why you need multiple listens on this album, but let's actually move on to the content. So how many listens did it take for you to just understand the overall vibe of this? And when did you find out that the track list isn't even in order? Like, when did you start figuring that out for yourself?
Well, listen, man, this album hasn't left my rotation, you know, since I was 12 years old, since I was just starting high school. And I heard it as soon as it came out, and I've been bumping it ever since. And well, obviously, when I first heard it at that age, I didn't get the hang of it. I didn't really look too deeply into, I would say, the overall grand scope of things. But now that I have, I'm able to see what this album truly represents. And it's amazing to think that, you know, the kind of story of the album on a surface level is portrayed from the album cover art, because you see a picture where Kendrick is photographed with his uncles and with maybe his father, and all of their eyes are blacked out with like this black bar, but Kendrick's eyes are open. Kendrick is the face that you're focusing on. And that's where we actually have the situation that takes place within the album, where it's kind of like Kendrick's a teenager and he's kind of going through a sequence of events where he realizes that he does not want to be a product of his environment. He wants to escape the gang life that his environment kind of imposed on him, and he has to try to find a way through that. And he does that by finding faith in God and by realizing you know, what his values are as a person. And I found that really, really well done.
You know, it's also genius about the concept. You know, the caravan on the album cover. Kendrick's in that caravan throughout the whole album, and he's going through all of these situations, because I'm going to explain to you the order of the track list, which you have to listen into it. And you're going to understand that Kendrick is taking his mom caravans to different situations. So the prelude, introducing us to Compton and kind of giving, you know, Kendrick's kind of like ideologies of like, you know, trying to give you that imagery was with Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe and Backseat Freestyle. Because at the end of Backseat Freestyle, there's that skit that actually goes into the art of peer pressure, because then, you know, one of Kendrick's friends, like, you know, get in the van, you know, I have the tape and I have the woods with me. And then you start to see the beginning, you know, K-Dot starts setting up like the imagery within Good Kid, Mad City. You have the art of peer pressure, you have Compton, you know, you also have Shireen, Master Splinter's daughter, where he's kind of giving you that extra context of what's going on in Compton, where now you can fully understand the environment he's in. Then the middle, the realization of the dangers in Compton through songs like Poetic Justice, where he's having, you know, he's kind of professing his love, but he's not quite there yet with his girl, but he wants to be there. Then you have Good Kid, where he's starting to question shit, and then Mad City, where he's talking about like what's really going down.
That's the climax of the album. That's for
the,
sure.
Then the final transition is where, you know, K-Dot goes to Kendrick, where like he fully embodies himself, and that's on Money Trees, Swimming Pools, and Sing About Me. And then obviously the conclusion of the album is with Real and then Compton.
Honestly, I always interpreted that kind of like that Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe would have fit in at the second last track, because,
but you know, there's actually like that song itself does not necessarily have any sort of place in the overall progression of the track list. It's one of those songs songs where Kendrick is kind of like out of character, where he's kind of explaining the creative vibe that he was within. And he was talking about this through a Twitter post. I was reading it on Genius, where he was saying he wanted to kind of break that vibe of having to, you know, be in that creative mode of having to create art that other people want. Like, he wanted to really do what he wanted to do on Good Kid, Mad City.
And that was a statement for the album, to be honest with you. And I just love how, you know, this album focuses on Kendrick's experiences as a teenager coming up in the early 2000s. And the fact that, you know, he's talking about his faith, he's talking about loss, about temptation in the city of Compton. And what's mind-blowing to me when I first really got the concept of the album is the fact that this album is about Kendrick, but it's also about me. The album's about you. The album's about millions of people who have gone through similar incidents. I mean, of course, it is geared towards more African-Americans, but it's crazy how anyone can relate to these universal messages, such as peer pressure growing up, such as trying to find yourself and not making your circumstances and your environment dictate the person you are. So let's actually get into some of the tracks, like The Art of Peer Pressure, where Kendrick sets up some of the best storytelling and imagery that I've ever seen on a hip-hop track, making us feel like we are in that white Toyota with him, you know, on the way to committing that home invasion. Not only that, but I love how Kendrick leaves you these Easter eggs to kind of ponder upon. For example, on The Art of Peer Pressure, he raps about how they're hotboxing in the car. And then if you look at the hook of that song, it's, you know, one day it'll burn you out. And that kind of relates to how they're smoking in that car and they're literally making a toxic environment for themselves by, you know, being engulfed in that smoke. And it also relates to how one day it'll burn you out. One day, you know, this bullshit that you're doing, you know, these crimes that you're committing will catch up to you and it'll be too late to actually get out of that. And I think that that's what Kendrick kind of displayed throughout that song, and that was one of the genius moments for me on
absolutely
there.
And also the way that the home invasion was set up in that song was really sick, like, and getting chased by the cops at the end of that song was even nicer, where, you know, take a, you know, took a right, took a left, like, where he's kind of explaining to you how the whole chase is going down, and then at the end of the song, you know, one lucky night with the homies, and then, you know, they ask, are you good, because then they kind of set up that imagery. So the skits were really nice within as well. I want to talk about the hook on Money Trees, you know, talking about, you know, Halle Berry or Hallelujah. You know, that was a big message within this album, because throughout the whole, you know, sort of vibe of the album, Kendrick's conflicted. You know, either does he go on to the side that, you know, provides him, you know, let's say short-term fixes like lust, and let's say, you know, doing drugs and, you know, doing other sorts of things, and, you know, engulfing yourself into the life, and on the other end of it, Hallelujah, obviously finding your faith in God and finding that greater purpose. And I think that that's massive for me, because, you know, not only could I relate to that, but so many other people could relate to that, those daily decisions that you have to make to be able to keep yourself in order. And it's an inspiration, because Kendrick ends up getting through it and ends up, you know, getting to the highest peak. And even talking about Compton and how important that is for the album, I mean, that's a straight pass of the torch from Dr. Dre to Kendrick, you know, going, seeing the evolution of Kendrick from, you know, him being in that situation to where he's at now, where, you know, let's serenade the new faith of Kendrick Lamar, you know, like, that's massive.
Hip-hop savior.
People have to understand that, like, this is a story that cannot be, like, made up. Like, this is really what it is. So
it's amazing. I mean,
bro, it's mind-blowing.
I think that we can't, you know, move on without talking about Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, one of my favorite songs of all time. And I love how the prayer that's foreshadowed in Shireen comes back, and you actually get the context of it here, because you find out that, of course, Kendrick gets jumped on Shireen, and then afterwards, when you go to swimming pools, you realize that, you know, Kendrick, Dave, and a few of the other friends, you know, went to actually meet with, you know, with the people that jumped Kendrick, and, you know, Dave tragically ends up getting shot and killed, and then that's kind of a wake-up call for them, and they realize that they're dying of thirst. They need that holy water. They need a realization and a desire for a bigger purpose, to serve someone bigger than themselves, to actually, you know, conceptualize where they're at in life and where they need to go to get out of this, you know, crime-ridden passage that they're going through. And with Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, the way that Kendrick is tackling different perspectives, you know, speaking about how, you know, Dave wanted to be, you know, immortalized through the music, how he wanted his story told. And that's what Kendrick does here, is telling, you know, being the voice for the voiceless and sharing stories also from the perspective of Keisha's sister. Of course, Keisha was portrayed on Section 80 as a prostitute who was, you know, tragically raped and murdered. And here he's talking through the perspective of her sister, who is kind of upset with him for sharing that story. But Kendrick's saying, like, if I don't share these stories, then nobody will. Nobody will do it justice. And, like, these are the kinds of, you know, kinds of nuances that make Kendrick a prophet in terms of his lyricism and his artistry. And even on a song like Swimming Pools, the fact that it's kind of designed as this party song, but in reality, it's talking about the dangers of alcoholism. He knew that he had to make a song with a hard-hitting beat, with a catchy hook, to reach the mainstream, to even get that message across. So that packaging was brilliantly done. And that's what Kendrick wants to do, is not only make music to vibe out to, but make music that's going to be very intellectually advanced. And that's what it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. A fun fact about Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, that those were actually two different songs. And the reason why Kendrick ended up merging them was because he felt as if, you know, that was just how he felt about that whole situation. And people needed to be able to understand the full story and the full perspective behind it. Not only that, but apparently it took him a year to write that song and really get it down packed. So, you know, considering all of that, all the deep messaging, the order, the track listing, the messages, everything included, the content was perfect. Not only was it perfectly executed, but I mean,
it's one of the best concept records of all time.
You know what I compare it to? Mm. Almost, I feel as if I'm listening to like a modern day West Coast version of Illmatic. I think that's maybe like what
it
is,
because the same way that you know Nas puts you, you know, it really on there on the streets in Queensbridge, Kendrick does the same thing by implanting you in Compton. And like, this is really one of those albums where I can shut my eyes and literally watch the movie playing out in my head.
It's perfect.
That's literally what it does for me. So I do agree with the perfect score. Like I said, one of the best concept records. And I love how, just like Undone by the Roots, it's kind of placed in this nonlinear structure. What a brilliant technique. But let's now move into the features. And there's not many on this album. We have a total of 6 features that include J-Rock, Drake, MC Ite, Anna Wise, Pharrell, and Dr. Dre. So, excuse me, starting, you know, from the top, what's the best feature for you here?
J-Rock, 1,000%. I don't think anyone ever touches
J-Rock.
You
can't doubt that.
No. I think that Money Trees feature is probably my favorite. What I say of all time? Do I say
it's all up
time?
There for me?
It's all time. I think it's in
an, it's one of the best.
You
of all
could
time.
Definitely put it on all time great list. I have no discomfort saying that. But I think what was also genius about the feature list was each of these features almost feel as like secondary characters to the overall vibe of the album. So, you know, starting off with J-Rock, I mean, you know, Money Trees is more in the context of like, you know, they fully embodied like what this was, and they fully understood like the extents of the street life and what it provided, but also what it didn't provide you with. So seeing J-Rock talking, like, listen to this: Santa Claus don't miss them stockings, liquor spilling, pistols popping, baking soda,
YOLO whipping, ain't no turkey on Thanksgiving.
Come on, what other album do you find that sort of stuff on from a feature list? Like,
and also the way that he transitions from one flow to the next, implementing these internal rhymes, these multisyllabic rhymes with bars like, hold on, in the streets with a heater under my dungarees. Dungarees are like those jean overalls. Dreams of me getting shaded under a money tree. So he's saying how like he's juxtaposing his street life with the desire to have a brighter future for himself. And he's saying like, it's contradictory, but the government, the systemic injustices have put me in this position, but I want to get out. But ironically, the easiest path for me to be financially stable is to be in the dope game. Like, the irony is just really well done. Like I said, J-Rock's delivery, his passion, it just feels so authentic. And it sounds like, you know, he sounds like one of Kendrick's friends who he's describing throughout this album. He fits into that world. He makes it so believable. But let's talk about Drake on Poetic Justice, because to me, it's one of my favorite Drake features of all time, and he just totally fit into that vibe of the song, man.
Like, it felt as if Kendrick was talking to his friend about girl problems, and then Drake was doubling down, being like, listen, I'm in that same boat, because obviously, he was referencing a couple of his ex-girlfriends in here. I'm not going to go into that sort of stuff, but it was kind of talking about the whole, you know, concept of Poetic Justice, about, you know, hopefully one of his exes hear this verse, and they're like, fuck, I really didn't make the right move in fucking up this relationship. Yeah. And that's what Drake is saying, kind of like, you know, realize what you have when it's in front of you. You know, I could have taken care of you. I could have taken you and your mom back to the home country and, you know, made sure that your lifestyle was lush and that it was filled with love. But you're still fucking with your ex-mans, you know, like that's kind of the whole vibe of that song. And it's beautiful because on the other hand of it, Kendrick's kind of like talking to Shireen and more of like a lust sort of romantic vibe trying to get with her. So it's kind of cool to see the way that they're in that same boat and you could kind of picture it going down, kind of like something that would happen in high school. I want to move on to Dr. Dre because he was a massive part of this whole project. I mean, he's kind of like the godfather of GKMC, kind of like the one that harvests all this talent and finally brings it to, you know, a full victory lap. Looking at Compton, it's like, here's the torch. You took it. You know, you went through all of this bullshit in GKMC. Here, Compton, you deserve it. You have the keys and you're the one that's going to carry this generation. So,
yeah, and Dre sounded really energized on Compton.
He delivered like such a fantastic verse. And then even going to Anna Wise, I mean, I know it was just a couple of choruses and like some bridges and stuff, but her vocals were flawless. And even the way that they were layered with Real on the chorus, like with Kendrick's lyrics,
it was a nice duet.
It was really nice. So, out of all of these, who do you think's one that shouldn't have been included if you had to?
Like, none. Even Pharrell on Good Kid, where he's kind of singing about like hallucinations while we have this very trippy beat. Like that was really, you know, again, played into the themes of the album. And that's what everything does here, especially Anna Wise on Real, where she kind of has like this childish tone to her voice. And that plays into the fact that Kendrick is kind of in harmony with the youth. He's trying to talk to the youth about how they need to find who they really are as people. And Anna Wise's vocal performance kind of contributes to that. So that was amazing. And like I said, there's not a single feature on here that's out of place. And they all give, you know, top-notch performances. So to me, the features were perfect on this
thing. The features were perfect. If they weren't perfect, then the overall vibe and coherent listen of this album would not be perfect. And I mean, like, they just add into that content and they add into Kendrick's performance, because even at that, if you didn't have, you know, only, you know, a shortened list of features, then it would have taken away from the overall story that Kendrick was narrating. And then it's also a thing like, it plays into the content and the overall theme of it. So they were geniusly picked, and it was really well done for
also,
me.
Also, shout out MC Ite. We didn't mention, but what he does on Mad City is awesome, because you have a Compton legend coming to rap side by side with Kendrick, talking about the day-to-day activities that he's still witnessing and experiencing. Like, great verses all throughout, man. And J-Rock is definitely the most impactful, I would say, out of all of those.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But let's actually move into the soundscape of the album now, and that is with production. So where do you even start with this, man? Like, there's just so much to talk about when you're talking about Good Kid, Mad City's production, because you go through the whole album and it seems like one seamless listen. Everything from, you know, the skits being intertwined with each other and like how that was, you know, implemented into the sequencing, or even all of these crazy samples used throughout, which I'll mention later on. But, you know, what was the one thing that stood out to you with Good Kid, Mad City's production, and how has it helped your replay value over the years?
I think it's the fact that we have these vintage samples, that we have these very smooth beats that provide a backdrop for these really horrific stories. Like, to me, it's kind of that contrast of having these easy, breezy, very atmospheric style beats while Kendrick is getting super real about topics such as murder, such as, you know, kind of questioning his faith and his identity. Like, there's so many deep topics here, and the fact that it's completely contrasted sonically by these dreamy type of beats are fantastic. And I want to give my respects to Soundwave, Pharrell Williams, DJ Dahi, Just Blaze, Hitboy, T-Minus, and every other producer that played a part on this. And that's another big thing too is that, yes, Dr. Dre did executive produce the album, but on nearly every song there's a different producer, and yet it still managed to sound so cohesive and still brought in these sounds of G-Funk and of soul. So what do you think really is the glue behind the production? What makes it all sound so well put together?
Well, I think it's also the beat switches as well, because I mean, there's this consistency within the track list, which is unmatched by very few albums. Like, I think that when you're going through Good Kid, Mad City, you're going to find yourself being wow and amazed by certain productions, right? Like the Mad City beat switch, where you're getting something very aggressive in tone at first, and then you get something that has more of like a G-Funk influence on it. Or even, you know, the Art of Peer Pressure, where it starts off more jazzy, and then once the story kicks in, the the cinematic drums in the background kick in. Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, literally having two different songs meshed in coherently together, making over a 12-minute production. Like, that's what I think really glued it for me, was the way they were able to diversify throughout the whole project while staying into the themes and realms of Good Kid, Mad City. That was super important for me. As you mentioned before in this review, the ability to close your eyes and to be able to see this whole story unfold in front of you is genius itself, but that was majorly due to the production, because it almost feels as if it's a flashback for Kendrick, and it's kind of taking you back in time with those dreamy type-esque sort of vibes that you're getting throughout the production. I had to talk about some of the samples on this, because absolutely fantastic.
There's one in particular that I love. I want to see if you're going
to
mention it.
Okay, so I had to mention three different samples on here. I want to actually mention the sample on Money Trees.
Yeah, that's the one.
Beach House's Silver Soul. I mean, you guys could go listen to it on Apple Music. It's called Beach Houses by
you
Silver Soul.
You hear birds chirping. It's crazy. Sounds like a sunny day. And DJ Dahi actually reversed that sample. That's what he did there.
It was absolutely crazy. The angelic Janet Jackson vocals on Poetic Justice from Anytime, Anyplace. That was fantastic. The drums that were sampled on Sing About Me were from Bill Withers' Use Me. I mean, you were just getting top tier, like, sampling on this. Like, think about how much it just costed to get all of those types of placements.
I know,
this.
Man. A beat that really stands out to me is actually Compton, because you have this mix of boom bap drums alongside with some West Coast elements, and also this very electronic sounding synth that kind of lingers, especially towards the end of the song. That was very different compared to the rest of the production on the album. And what's cool about the Compton beat by Just Blaze is that it was originally meant for Detox, and of course we all know that Detox never fucking came out, so I guess Dr. Dre kind of gifted it to Kendrick, and what a great choice that was. Something else I want to mention, which isn't completely part of the production but does kind of play into the way the album is kind of mixed and mastered, are the skits on this album, namely from Kendrick's parents, because there's that whole skit which adds so much comedy and so much humor to such a dark story, where they're leaving a voicemail to Kendrick on, you know, the intro Shireen and other songs too, but you have Kendrick's dad just fucking begging him for the dominoes, man.
Yeah, like they want, like, the dominoes to come.
He wants
through
the dominoes so badly, and it's hilarious the way that, you know, Kendrick's mom kind of hits back, and she's like, fuck your dominoes. Like, there's more important things. I need my van back.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's really cool.
Bring back the caravan.
It's cool because it creates the environment for you. Even, like, exactly, you know, Kendrick's mom asking back for the van. Like, where are you? You know what? After the whole thing of, you know, the art of peer pressure, kind of like, you know, where's the van, Kato? Like, we know, when are you coming home? So
I have a fucking appointment to attend to, you know?
Absolutely. Like, come on, he doesn't know that he's about to do a home invasion. So overall, I mean, the production just creates this beautiful landscape to go through this album with such ease. And I mean, again, a situation where there's not a single bad beat, there's not a single miscalculation within the whole track list, and from start to finish this album is knitted with perfectly sequenced skits. And even, you know, the diversity within the amount of producers that worked on this album was extremely impressive, so therefore it is another perfect rating. The producing was perfect. There's
and guys,
else to
listen,
say.
I just want
to
say this. You're seeing that a lot of, you know, these categories are getting perfect ratings. And for us as reviewers, like, this is what we do on a weekly basis. And it's really not easy to give a perfect rating, because you want to be critical about the music. You really do. And with this album, it's an album that I've heard so many times. And that kind of leads me into the instant replay. Sorry, into the replay value of it. But after all of these listens, I just can't pick out any flaws.
Absolutely
not. I really
not.
Can't.
It's
and
9 years.
It's almost as if, like, for certain listens, I'm training myself to do so. I'm like, okay, there's got to be something that's off. There's got to be a vocal note that just isn't hit right by Kendrick. There's got to be something, but there's no flaws to me.
Oh, there
and
isn't.
And going into the replay value, for myself personally, this is the album that I've listened to the most time and spent the most time with. And it goes back to the fact that I was just starting off high school when I heard it. I was, you know, taking the bus every day, bumping this album, and I've aged with it. I've grown as a person with this album. And I think that I've played it at least over 100 times. And the reason why I think this is one of the most replayable albums of all time is the fact that not only is it so deep thematically, but it's so fucking accessible, because if I want to vibe out to some party songs, I'll play Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, or I'll play Swimming Pools. If I want to marvel at some of Kendrick's bars, I'll listen to Mad City, or I'll listen to Compton, for example. If I want to actually reevaluate my place in life and, you know, get this priceless insight from Kendrick, I'll listen to Real, or I'll listen to Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. Like Kendrick, you know, weaved together these songs in a masterful way and really gave me a soundtrack for every moment and every emotion that I feel going through life. So I think that's why, for me, the replay value is perfect.
I had to bring this statistic into this review today because I found this absolutely ridiculous. And I never really do this with reviews because they're usually invalid. But if you want to talk about the replay value of this album, Good Kid, Mad City has spent 468 weeks consecutively on the Billboard 200 chart. That is absolutely ridiculous. The only other album to do so is Eminem's Curtain Call with 550
weeks. Which is a greatest hits album. That means that Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City is the longest charting album in the history of the Billboard 200 chart. And that means that since it came out, it never left.
It never left.
It never left. It's always been a part of the 200 biggest albums in the nation.
I mean, if you really want to talk about replay value, how are you going to even be able to put this album down with the amount of stuff you have to go through? I mean, the intricate storytelling, the ability to, you know, understand different, you know, spiritual, political, and even personal, you know, let's say, anecdotes throughout this is just beautiful. The way that you're able to pick apart Kendrick's, let's say, past and understand that life isn't perfect and the way it moves is a very hard, you know, let's say, ideology to understand because it takes multiple listens. It takes that time. You have the great production that eases you in every single moment you listen to this album. It's going to be such a fun listen. And I mean, the replay value on this album is perfect. There's not a single flaw with it. Like, it's still in my rotation. It's still probably my most bumped, you know, Kendrick album besides the Pimp a Butterfly. They're kind of tied for me right now, but overall, man, perfect from start to finish.
It'll never leave my rotation. It really won't. So I think that we could all agree that that replay value is timeless for Good Kid, Mad City. But let's talk about our overall rating. I think that with all the perfect scores, you guys can kind of guess that it is a perfect album for us. And this is the first perfect album and perfect rating that we give to a project. And it just ends up being our first throwback review. But speaking on Good Kid, Mad City, to kind of sum things up, I just love how the concept of this album is about how, although you might become a victim to your circumstances and become a product to your environment, ultimately, we have the power to pull the trigger on our own life decisions. It's up to us to make a change in our lives to get out of these dark times and these dark periods and to get out of what we're kind of born into and make the best experiences for ourselves. And that's what Kendrick kind of portrays throughout these 12 amazing tracks from start to finish. And I just love the diverse production as well. The fact that you get trap elements on a song like Backseat Freestyle through Hit-Boy's, you know, iconic trap bells on that songs, to the snare drums and the, you know, the kick drums on that track as well, all the way up to the very low-key beats that you get on songs like Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. Just amazing soundscape, amazing storytelling tracks from Kendrick, and probably some of the best imagery I've ever heard on wax, to be honest.
And I really want to go on that imagery point. I think that's the strongest part of this album with me is the ability for myself to dive into a different environment, to be able to escape mine and kind of go into a different realm where I could understand different, let's say, problems and social issues and even personal issues of mine that, you know, affect me that I never even knew affected me until I heard Good Kid, Mad City. And the fact that I've been able to grow with this album is such a big part for me too. You know, you heard it at 12. I heard it at 12. You know, I'm 21 now. You're 21. You know, it's going to be almost 10 years that we've had this album in our life. And it feels as if it's one of the most important albums that have ever come out for me. Like, it's taught me so many different concepts. You know, the concept of gratitude, of love, of self, you know, self-reflection, you know, looking at what's around you and understanding that you have to be critical of your environment every single, you know, moment of your day. So there's so much that goes into it. Lou and I are going to give this a perfect rating. I don't think that there's anything else to be argued about it. And I've been listening to this album for over a decade and I still can't find a flaw within it. I mean,
yeah, and it's perfect. I do want to say that, like, we have a lot of young listeners out there, and if you haven't heard this album, please do, because I think that for people who are kind of, you know, trying to find their place in the world or trying to, you know, attach themselves to a set of values that they truly want to believe in, this album could be a life-altering experience for you. I mean, a song like Real, for example, really changed my personal reflection on life. Like, after hearing that song, like, I really started to understand, like, I don't need validation from other people. I don't need to immerse myself into materialistic bullshit. Like, I can just live my life, you know, going on the path that I want to, and value the things that truly have meaning and purpose in my life, like family, like my faith, like the things that uplift me on a spiritual level. And that's what Kendrick provides on Good Kid, Mad City. And it's a beautiful album, and it's one of my favorite hip-hop records of all time.
I'm on that same boat. It's definitely in my all-time list. But guys, listen, thank you so much for watching this review with us. It's always a pleasure doing content for you guys. I mean, you know, this was something that we really wanted to bring to the channel because a lot of you guys want to know our opinions on older projects. We started reviewing recent stuff, especially within the year that we've been on YouTube right now, but I think it's time to finally dive into some old material. So Good Kid, Mad City definitely is a good place to start with that. So if you did like this content, please subscribe, because we will be doing more of these and we'll be keeping you updated with the hottest releases of the year. So guys, smash that like button too if you like the video. Thank you for watching this, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you for watching the video. It's always a pleasure doing content for you guys. Listen, if you haven't already, subscribed to the channel, because we're doing album reviews and we actually have our series called Everything We Know, where we take you guys through the whole album rollout of the hottest releases of the year. Not only that, guys, but our Patreon plan is now live. You guys could access that in the bio. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on the next one.